This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Well, what a perfect day. The perfect morning to have on somebody who has been hobnobbing around all the pro days around the country, with still one more in particular after today's in Happy Valley. To talk about that and so much more on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, we welcome in Zach Jackson of The Athletic. Zach, I'm guessing they have a Chipotle at State College. That seems to be where all the news goes down this time of year. What's up, Zach?
I did walk by Chipotle last night. I did not stop and indulge, but then I did see that madness, and I just, like, think about what this team has done to you people.
Well, it's a perfect way to get into the fact that Adam Schefter had the report this morning that the entire Browns contingent would be in Happy Valley. Of course, we know they were down in Miami doing a private workout for Cam Ward. What do you make of the significance of today's appearance in Happy Valley, and how big of a day is it truly, or is all this stuff already decided?
Well, it was yesterday's appearance in Happy Valley. I'm not sure they'll be there today. They haven't been at the other pro days. So, and Abdul Carter is not going to work out today. But they were here to meet with Abdul Carter. It's funny, Abdul Carter's agent is Drew Rosenhaus. So he and I were on the same flight from Miami to Columbus on Tuesday night for Ohio State's pro day, and then he was over here. Abdul has been back on campus here for a week or so. He's just not feeling ready to work out, and there's a thought that he might feel like he doesn't need to work out. So that the medical part adds a little bit of mystery here, but this is a kid who had the breakout end of the season, you know, really was playing off ball linebacker mostly before this year. And his first two visits were Cleveland and Tennessee. So he thinks he's going in the top two. So, obviously there's a lot of layers to the debate and what will the Browns do. But I mean, I think when you lay out the options, I think Abdul Carter has always been at or near the top of the list. And unless something changes in these meetings or workouts, I think a lot of guesses are going to continue to be that the Browns draft Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter and then try to trade for Kirk Cousins and draft a quarterback later. So that's the process that they're going through now. They're doing it their way. They're entitled, you know, to do that, and I think it's perfectly fine, normal, and, you know, probably right that they're going through these last paces and making sure that everyone meets the right people and sees the right people up close. And then when they come back from the meetings and from the trip to Colorado a week from today, then you're within 3 weeks, and then it's really decision time. So if you can't trade up for the only top-tier quarterback in this class, and you probably can't, although I think that's realistic. I'm sure we'll talk about that in a minute. Then I do believe that you have to choose between Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter, because I don't believe, and no one that I've talked to believes, that there's a quarterback worth taking at number two in this draft.
All right, and just to clarify, Zach Jackson, who has been watching these pro days, the Browns do have scouts at some of these pro days, right? It's just
they have scouts at all of these pro days. But when I say they're, when I talk about the traveling party of the head coach, the GM, I mean, Glenn Cook's a top executive. He was at Miami's pro day. He's a former Miami team captain. But no, at any of the pro days that I've been to this year and in other years, the only one. One time I've seen Andrew Berry there. So they just don't do that. And then this year we know they're taking this tour where they're working guys out and they're meeting with them, you know, face-to-face. And that's happened over the last 4 or 5 days. And then we'll continue next week when Colorado has their own pro day for Shedeur Sanders, Travis Hunter, and the three other receivers.
Zach, members of the ownership group have been racking up the frequent flyer miles as well. Meeting with Cam Ward, Abdul Carter last night in Happy Valley. How involved in the actual decision-making process? A little different from just taking the guided tour, shaking hands, meeting folks, but how involved in the actual decision-making process with that second overall pick do you feel the ownership group is?
Yeah, I mean, Daryl, I'd love to give you a firm answer on that. Obviously I don't, and then we can ask them at the owners' meetings and we won't get a firm answer.
Right.
But I would tell you this. I would tell you almost zero involved with the player being picked. However, any big plan goes through ownership as you sign off.
Right.
And it's, like I said, perfectly normal and fine to not be arrived at your final plan at this point. But really, any huge plan that would involve giving up more capital to go get Cam Ward would have to be signed off by that guy. And then whether the quarterback disaster is the owner's fault or not the owner's fault or somewhere in between, and you know, probably somewhere in the middle is usually the answer on these things, right? They have to get this fixed. So I would say it's fair and normal for ownership to ask questions of how are we going to address this, right? Because not just addressing it, but getting it right is the only way forward. And, you know, we all know, and Myles Garrett insinuated this, this team is a two-draft fix. Right. This team has a lot of holes. But the way to change the vibe is to get the right one. And whether that's at 1, 2, 33, 20, 55, 67, you know, I think we'll know by November or December, and that will determine a lot. So, yeah, I think ownership has to be involved in asking the right questions and then signing off on it. I mean, look, when Tennessee showed up at Cam Ward's pro day the way that they did,
yeah,
and Cam Ward performed the way that they did, continuing this rise that's really been for 5 years where he's gone from wing T high school quarterback to number one pick in the draft, right? And then the Browns still went and did their meeting and did their workout, and Tennessee is saying they're doing – Tennessee is basically daring the Browns and the Giants to outbid one another. Will Tennessee ultimately accept that, or will they just make the pick? I don't know. I think they'll probably just make the pick. That's part of the intrigue here. But that they're just doing their business just in the way the Falcons decided to do their business with Cousins, even though it was unconventional and probably surprising for multiple teams, including the one that always planned on Kirk Cousins being their quarterback.
We're all trying to figure out what the Browns are going to do in this upcoming draft. My latest hypothesis, Zach, is that they will take Carter at 2 and then trade back into the first round, considering they've got 5 picks in the top 104. I've got them trading back into the first round to take the quarterback. How feasible, considering the quality of the quarterbacks that are available? As you mentioned, you know, there are a lot of guys that just they don't measure up. But how feasible do you think it would be for the Browns to take that route to try and find the rookie quarterback?
I think that's a feasible route, Daryl. That's certainly on my list of the 5 scenarios in the way we look at it right now that published yesterday. And I think that's probably more likely than trading up to 1 to get Cam Ward. However, I'm not sure you have to. And they're not sure you have to. And the draft always brings intrigue. And the shape of the draft from 17 on is going to be dependent on how teams really value these running backs, how teams value these left tackles who have various issues, you know, but are still premium talents, you know, at a premium position. But, I mean, I don't know that anyone loves. I'm pretty confident that no one loves any of these quarterbacks.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Quarterbacks, but you convince yourself that you do. Right. And that's what happens over this time period right now. So if they have to do that, that's a feasible scenario. But I'm not sure they have to do that. And then are they going to end? It's not just saying you're going to do that. You have to have one in mind that you would do that for. And then it's, okay, how far do we have to go and how far can we go? You know, when the Steelers put out that thing that they're having dinner with Jalen Milroe, I think that was completely intentional to let teams know that they do they really want him? Would they do it? Is that where he goes? Again, we're all guessing. But that is certainly a scenario that as soon as the Browns would turn in the card on Abdul Carter or on Travis Hunter, and I'm more convinced that Travis Hunter is an option than I was a couple of weeks ago, then they would absolutely begin looking to where they would get. But again, I think when we talk about that, some of us look and say, well, it could be Shuck, it could be Milroe, it could be Dart. No, they have to have one in mind to do that and go do that. So we don't know who that would be. And then they obviously would have to have the plan for how they would have to get there.
Zach Jackson joining us right now on the hotline. So what has stood out to you since you're saying like the Browns and Andrew Berry, they don't really care all that much about the pro days, but you know, you've certainly been at these. You're going to be at Colorado's as well. You're going to see two guys that could end up being Cleveland Browns. So what has stood out to you so far from those experiences or just from the conversations that you've been able to have?
I mean, Cam Ward was it was a show, right? And it's supposed to be. It's highly scripted and comfortable. And you know, when the Browns do private workouts, it's essentially the same thing. It's just a little less scripted. You know, when they work out Cam Ward or Jackson Dart, they're asking those guys to make the throws and run the plays that Kevin Stefanski or Tommy Reese wants them to, rather than their personal quarterback coaches or their college offensive coordinator who remembers putting it together, right? It's the same stuff. Will Howard made almost the same exact script of throws that Cam Ward did. It was just, Will Howard was thrown to a couple of running backs and one tight end. Cam Ward was throwing to two outside receivers and two tight ends. They were a little different. Howard's a great, good athlete. Ward's a great athlete. It was pretty wild to watch Cam Ward in person and say this is what an NFL quarterback looks like. So he's got a long way to go. But again, his climb is all about getting better every year, and we'll see. And there's not a sure thing. And I, even though it doesn't matter, you know, it is fair to wonder how many years he'd be the number one pick. But he's going to be the number one pick this year. And to me, the intrigue is whether Tennessee's really willing to let an auction play out, that they would willing to accept one of the bids at the end.
Zach, I've been joking that starting with a 33rd pick, the Browns should take the best Buckeye left on the board for their draft philosophy because it's NFLU down there in Columbus. You were at the Pro Day in Columbus. What stood out to you when you look at the what seems like 20 Buckeyes that are going to be available in this draft and just how good they're going to be at the next level?
Well, real quick before I answer that, Daryl, because that's a good question, Anthony, let me follow this. When people started, this is how this goes. When people reported that Howard was 62 of 64 or whatever, they were counting every single throw he made, including the warm-up lobs when they first took the field for the quarterback workout.
Oh,
right?
Geez.
So, and that's no diss on Will Howard, who really there were only three balls on the ground for the entire thing, right? But that's what it's supposed to look like. That's why you do it at your campus with receivers you know in the script that you do.
And reporters that you know.
Yeah, right. But I mean, that, like I said, that included every single. I was like, guys, that's not the number you should go with. But whatever, I got my own battles to fight here. They're like, it's a freak show, you know. Really, for 12 years now since Urban Meyer got there, when you go to Ohio State practice, it looks like a Senior Bowl practice, and when you see all these guys. You know, it was funny to me watching all the talent at Miami, and they were wearing the Pop-Tarts Bowl gear, and it was like, this team only made the Pop-Tarts Bowl. they get to Ohio State and everybody's wearing the national championship gear. And I have seen the difference is I have been to Ohio State games and I've seen it, like in the case of Jack Sawyer, I've seen these guys since they were young and came up, you know, so you see them now. The Josh Simmons kid is fascinating from Ohio State because on talent, he's a top tackle, like and potentially a top 10 pick, especially in this draft. But he has the major knee injury, and now there's reports of other stuff going on. And, I mean, he's a guy that could be there at 33, and that's a Cleveland Browns pick, if there ever was one. So, yeah, you see a lot. But, yeah, you see a whole lot. And in Penn State, you know, Tyler Warren is a top whatever pick, maybe 10, I don't know, but they've done a really good job in the last few years of developing guys and having guys who are athletic and coveted. So there'll be another big crowd today, and there'll be, you know, more names to see, even without Carter working out. I'm assuming that Drew Aller will be the quarterback today for Tyler Warren and the workout, and then, so the eyes of the NFL will get to see him. I don't know that for 100% sure. That's just my feeling on how the rules have changed, and they're allowed to do that. So then, therefore, even without Abdul Carter, there's something Browns related to see today, so we will see who's still here from the traveling party.
Zach, I am interested in this discussion that, man, we have been bombarded with fans that watched Will Howard win a national championship, did so kind of at times look dominant, looked as accurate as he'd looked all year. Then you look at him physically, you know that he's 6'5", feels like a guy who, you know, you could be doing the push with needing 1 yard. Why is he not, you know, at the top of the first round? What are the limitations there?
Well, I mean, the answer to me would have to be arm strength, but I mean, there's a lot to like about this kid, right? And I think one of the things that's fascinating for radio and podcasts and those who write and those who consume what we write and talk about is that, you know, a lot of them have been clamoring for a certain quarterback at number two, who's not even 200 pounds, and they think that he's going to go to Cleveland at number two and succeed. But Will Howard is 6'4 and 236 and can run. So, like, is that a question that just gets asked in a draft room? You would hope that it is, right? So, you know, Will Howard absolutely made the right call by not going to the draft last year. He wasn't ready. He absolutely made the right call by coming to Ohio State. And, you know, I see why he's not viewed at the top of this class, but really when you look at how he played, he definitely played better in the second half of the year, the Michigan game being the huge exception. He was part of that group getting their blank together and going and recovering from that and winning. And he certainly didn't do it on his own with all those freak shows around him. But yeah, I mean, I think you can do worse than him. And you got to think that Chip Kelly said, okay, you know, because sometimes you just sign a DB or you sign a tight end and that's what you do. But there should be a plan at the quarterback room all the time, right? And so it's like we walk the line here of it's March, don't panic, versus there should be a plan all the time. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is when they traded a third rounder for Geno Smith, who's 34 or 35 years old, don't you think that they said we're going to add Will Howard to this room with him?
All right, Zach, I appreciate it. Next time we'll get a chance to talk about who the next football and basketball coaches are at Kent State.
I look forward to that discussion.
It was a wild day yesterday. All right, Zach. We'll see you next time. There he is, Zach Jackson of The Athletic on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Some interesting comments on Will Howard there at the end. That is seriously one of the most frequent calls, tweets we've been getting. Why is Will Howard not at the top of this? I want to talk about that